Chapter 21. When they reached Valdaire, Arkelin took the remnant of his cohort and assigned them the same quarters as the year before. Pox almost wished he had left them with the others. Alone in a barracks meant for 100 or more, they were achingly aware of their losses. Even the winter routine of training and work could not distract them. Every night, Pox faced the rows of empty bunks and looked aside to meet eyes as unhappy as her own. They had been told the Duke would replace the missing. He had already ridden north, but this was no comfort. Who could replace Donag or Bosk? She would not let herself think of Sabin and Kana. Day by day, she and the others grew even more silent and grim. Then Arkelin announced a feast for them at the White Dragon. This was no ordinary dinner, though they came unwillingly. The splendor Arkelin had ordered had its effect. The table was loaded with roast stuffed fowl, a great crown roast with candied fruit for jewels on the crown, roast suckling pig in a nest of mushrooms, a pastry construction of the city of Rotengra, with little figures assaulting the walls and gate, and colored sugar flames rising from the roofs. Dishes Pox had never seen before. Steamed grain with bits of mushroom, nuts, and spices in it, vegetables stuffed with cheese or meat, or another vegetable or nuts, thick soups and thin soups, sliced cheeses in every shade from white to deep orange, sweet cakes and pies of every kind. They ate until they were full, and overfull, washing it down with their choice of wines and ales. Pox drank more than she ever had, and felt, for the first time since seeing Siniava's army come out of the trees, truly relaxed. At the end of the meal, when the food was cleared away and the servants had left, Arkelin passed around the rings which the Duke had made for them. Pox looked at hers before slipping it on her finger, a plain gold band with a tiny fox head stamped on the outer surface, and the word Dwarf Watch and a rune that Arkelin told them stood for loyalty engraved on the inside. She ran her thumb lightly over the fox head and glanced aside to see Arnie doing the same thing. Arkelin waited for them all to look up before speaking.
"I wish," he said quietly, "that I had been with you, to fight beside you. Not that you could have done better. Tur knows what I, what everyone thinks of your fighting. But you have shared something now, bitter as it is, that will bind you heart to heart for the rest of your lives."
He stopped and looked around, gathering every eye that had dropped, before going on.
"Very shortly," he said, "the new recruits will be down. We'll be back to size or near it. You know, and I know, that they cannot take the place of those we have lost, but they can help avenge our friends. The Duke has sworn vengeance on Siniava. So has the Halveric. Let us then swear our own oath for the memory of our friends and the destruction of our enemies."
He read out again the names of those who had died. They gave a great shout after each. Pox was crying. She saw tears glisten on most faces. Hand felt for hand around the table. Then Arkelin said, "Death to the Honeycat!" And the responsive roar shook the room. Pox felt a surge of rage, felt the anger in the others that made them one. She wished they could march at once. But some weeks passed before the new recruits arrived. After the banquet, Pox felt more at ease. She and the others began looking forward to the new campaign, almost as much as backward to the past one. They drilled with every weapon they had or had captured. Pox spent more time with the longsword. She enjoyed the great advantage her height and reach gave her with the longer weapon, but not all her time was spent in practice. That winter, the Vale of Valdaire seemed even fuller than usual of wintering troops. Pox met more of the Golden Company, commanded by Aesil Madeira, a dark, hawk-faced woman from the west. She saw Kallak Mandirisnir, a scar-faced, bandy-legged little man who commanded the Blue Riders, and Sabinai Company, whose dapper commander looked, to Pox, too dressy to be a good fighter. The talk was of war, battles and encounters, siege and assault, tactics for pole arms and blades. It was not long before they all knew of Pox's journey. The Guild League militia had the tale from Sirelin, and the Halverics had not failed to spread it either. She found she was accepted by graying veterans, as well as by eager young warriors her own age. And ever again, the talk turned to the Honeycat,
and what could be done against him. Gold and Company had fought him more than once. They argued fiercely with the Halverics about strategy. Pox listened carefully, trying to picture the coastal cities fair on their cliffs, and the grim forest where Olured the Black took toll of every passerby. At last, a runner brought them warning, and in an hour or so they saw a column approaching, with a duke's banner flying ahead. Pox watched the marchers critically. Had it been only 2 years since she had come that way? Had she looked so young? She saw the whites of the recruits' eyes as they glanced from side to side. They were hardly more than children, she thought. Then spotted a gray-headed man, and another in the midst. Stammel led the second unit, and Devlin was behind him. The column halted. Pox tensed, waiting. When Arkelin yelled, the company formed, falling into place with a startling speed that never failed to impress the newcomers. Pox suppressed a grin, remembering her own reaction and seeing its mirror on the recruits' faces. The Duke rode forward and looked them over. He turned to Arkelin.
"Well, they look fit enough. Are they ready?"
"They'd march today, my lord," said Arkelin. The Duke smiled.
"Not quite today, captains. Captain Velici will break the column for you."
"Yes, my lord."
The Duke rode away, and Velici dismounted, coming to stand by Arkelin. Pox wondered why he had come. Who would captain the year's recruits?
"Well, Val?"
"What'd you bring us?" asked Doran.
"About the usual. Plus veterans the Duke asked back in. He's hired a captain, too, but he'll tell you about that. Should be here within the week. Arkelin, you'll have Stammel and Kefir for sergeants, and Devlin and Selly for corporals. The Duke suggested that you take most of the veterans for your cohort, since it was worst hit. You'll also have almost half the recruits."
Arkelin stretched, shaking his head.
"Well then, we'd best settle the troops. Go ahead, Val."
Velici sent two files from Kefir's unit and all of Stammel's unit to Arkelin's cohort, where they moved up behind the survivors. The rest of Kefir's unit and two files of Vona's went to Doran, the remainder to Krakonia. The sergeants relocated themselves. Stammel gave the cohort a long, appraising look. When he met Pox's eyes, one eyelid drooped in the merest suggestion of a wink. 2 hours later, the newcomers had distributed their gear in the barracks, and the bustle of 62 additional members gave the feeling of a full cohort again. Pox had been assigned 4 recruits to introduce to their new life, 3 men and 1 woman. As she told them where to store things and where they would eat and sleep, she was reminded of her first night with a regular company. But then there had been many more veterans than recruits. She could tell they were full of questions, but she kept them busy. She didn't want to talk about it yet with these people she did not know. Stammel came around to check before supper and gave her a grin.
"Well, Pox, I heard about you. You've had quite a year."
Pox nodded. "It's been difficult."
"Sounds like it. I've heard the Duke's version. I'd like to hear yours. How about a mug at the White Dragon after supper?"
Pox frowned. "I've got second watch tonight."
"That was before we came. Arkelin said to work in the recruits at once. They'll start tonight. What about it?"
"Yes, sir, I'd like that."
"Good. We're not eating in formation. Just make sure your group gets over there and back. I'll be around somewhere."
Stammel moved on, and Pox surprised an expression on the recruits' faces that made her uncomfortable.
"Come along," she said brusquely. "Time to eat."
She led them to the serving lines, then to a table. Vic was there with 3 recruits. He rolled his eyes at her. Pox grinned.
"Pox, these are Mikkel, Suri, and Sovin."
Pox felt her face freeze. The recruit flinched. She realized she must be glaring. She swallowed and nodded at them, trying to smile.
"This is Pox," said Vic to them.
The new Sovin was thin and dark, with green eyes. Pox looked away, swallowed again, and introduced her own recruits, pointing a finger at each in turn. "Volya, Kerry, Jennets, and Sim. And this is Vic. Don't dice with him, he'll win."
"If you're going to tell tales, Pox, I'll start on you," threatened Vic.
"Huh, there's naught to tell."
"Is there not? Well, I'll let them find out for themselves. Did you hear that Stammel's changed the watch lists?"
Pox nodded. her mouth full of food. We're off for 2 days. All the old ones. Want to come into Valdaire with us tonight?
Pox shook her head, spat out a piece of gristle, and said, Not tonight. Stammel wanted to talk.
About?
Vic jerked his head to the northeast.
I expect so.
Pox went on eating, aware of the recruit's interest. Roff sat down across the table from Pox, with an older man and 2 recruits.
Pox, Vic, this is Hama and Jersey, and Piter, who thought he'd retired.
Piter laughed at this. He had none of the recruit's nervousness. He grinned at Pox.
Are you the Pox that went 7 days across country to bring the Duke word?
He asked.
That's right, said Vic, before Pox could answer. Pox Longlegs.
Pox put an elbow in his ribs and he broke off.
I'm impressed, said Piter. What did you do for supplies?
The first day we scavenged some food from a farm near the fort. The farmers had been killed. We tried to space it out, but we were short until, I think it was the 5th day. We tried to buy food at a little settlement, and they tried to rob us, and we came away with enough to finish the trip.
Piter nodded as he ate his stew. Then he frowned. You say we? I heard it was you alone that brought the message.
3 of us started. 2 died. Pox looked away, avoiding the recruit's eyes.
Umph. I remember trying to shadow a column once, just for a day and night, and that was in summer. I could see their dust. Even so, I lost them twice and was nearly taken.
I remember that, said Roff. It was my third year, and you were in, was it Samintha's cohort?
No, that was the year Sim had that bad fall. Fallen had just taken it. That was Grateful Company I was following, you remember. They disbanded some 10 years ago, but they had a very good light foot.
Pox listened to their remembrances, well pleased to have the conversation turned. She finished her meal, and saw that her recruits were finished too. Vic turned to her as he climbed over the bench.
Pox, I'll see you at weapons drill tomorrow, if you're not up when we get back.
If you're coming back that late, all you'll see at drill is the ground or sky. The recruits looked shocked. Pox and Vic grinned at each other, and Pox climbed up too.
Glad to have met you, Pox, said Piter, saluting her with a hunk of bread.
And you, she said. Her group was up and waiting for orders. Let's get back, she told them, and led the way out.
Pox,
it was Volya, the single woman of her group.
Yes?
Will you tell us, someday,
about what you did?
Pox shrugged.
There's not much to tell.
But surely, began Jennets. Pox cut him off. Not now, some other time maybe, if you haven't heard enough from the others. She led them to the barracks at a fast pace.
Captain Arkelin was standing with Stammel just inside the door. The recruits shied around them. Stammel beckoned to Pox, and she came to stand nearby.
And that's all I know, said Arkelin. We've 2 months' training to make up in as many weeks. The veterans,
he nodded at Pox, will all be instructors. I understand you've put the recruits on guard duty.
Yes, sir. For a few nights, anyway.
Good.
Oh, by the way, the Duke was talking of taking a section for drill himself.
Stammel grunted.
It won't be the first time, sir, but thank you for the warning.
Arkelin glanced at Pox again.
You're going into Valdaire?
The White Dragon,
answered Stammel.
I'll be back by second watch.
No problem. I'll be checking the guard posts as usual. Take care.
Arkelin went out. Stammel looked after him a moment, then turned to Pox and smiled.
I've already told Kefir I'm going. Are you ready?
Pox nodded.
Good.
He started out the door.
Have you done much drilling with pole arms?
Some. We drilled with Vladi spears before the siege ended, but not so much since we've come back.
The Duke wants us to be able to use them. I was hoping some of you could help teach.
I think we could use them. I don't like them nearly as well as swords. They're too clumsy in close.
We'll have to try.
They were in the lane that led to the White Dragon. In the light spilling from open doors and windows, Pox saw that Stammel was watching her from the corner of his eye.
Pox, these recruits, they're greener than you were. They've had 2 months less training. You heard the captain. We have to work them into the company in a hurry. I don't know when the Duke plans to march, but I doubt he'll wait until summer. Now,
The Duke told them some of what's happened, and what you did. They're all excited. I thought you should know what he'd said, so when they ask...
Do I have to talk about it?
Stammel took a great breath and blew it out, a pale frosty plume against the sky. No, no you don't, not even to me if you don't want to. But you may find it hard. They'll be asking, you see. I know what you mean. Some things you don't want to make light of, by too much talk. But they'll be looking to you, Pox, whether you tell them or not. I thought you should know.
I wish they wouldn't, muttered Pox. She could feel her ears glowing.
You would have yourself, said Stammel reasonably. I remember you with Kolya and Kana. It's natural. The youngsters always want to hear the stories and dream, and it will help get them ready faster, for them to think of all you veterans as heroes, song fodder.
Pox was glad they still had a distance to go. She knew she was red.
We have some old veterans back, too, Stammel went on. They'll have their own problems, maybe a bit touchy at first. Don't pay any mind if they go on about how things have changed. Once we're fighting, they'll be a big help.
I met one tonight, said Pox. Piter?
Yes, old Piter. He's a good man. We started together. But he took a bad wound and fever one year and decided to retire. He joined one of his brothers running barges on the Honorgat. Claims he's kept his sword skill against river pirates. I don't know about that, but he's kept it. He's good with a curved blade, too. Knows every trick. How did you get along?
Fine. He wanted to know, but it was more like one of us. He asked what we'd done about food. It seemed natural, talking to him.
Good. Oh, I nearly forgot. Kolya sent you her greetings and a bag of apples. It's somewhere in the baggage. I'll find it tomorrow.
That was nice of her. And a surprise. She heard it in her own voice.
She had a good harvest this year. She wanted to come, but the Duke had other plans.
Is it true the Duke left the stronghold empty?
How did you know that?
I heard the captain say something.
Well, don't you say anything. Gods above. I hope no one else mentions it. It's true, except for those in the villages, and I hope the Regency Council doesn't hear about it.
But what if something breaks out in the north?
We'll just hope it doesn't. Nothing's happened for years.
Stammel sighed and changed the subject.
What did you get from the sack of Rotengra? Wasn't that your first?
Yes, said Pox slowly. It was.
Didn't like it, eh? What about it?
It was everyone shoving and yelling and breaking things. I can't see breaking up good furniture for the fun of it, and tearing things and spilling wine all over.
Stammel chuckled. No, I suppose you wouldn't, but surely you found something for yourself.
Oh, yes, some unset jewels, coins, a jeweled dagger, and a length of embroidered silk. I'm keeping that for my mother. I was thinking of keeping the dagger, but it looks silly with these clothes.
Couldn't you have found some finery to go with it?
Pox snorted, then laughed, remembering the militia primped up in velvets and laces. Well, sir, I looked at some of the others, and it just looked silly. And besides, where would I keep the things?
It's not impossible. You're a veteran now. You're entitled to some space in the company wagons and stores.
I suppose. I didn't think of that then. They were nearly at the inn, and Stammel led the way to the door. Once inside, they found the usual assortment of customers. Mercenaries of half a dozen companies, a scattering of merchants, and a few professional gamblers, or thieves, who tossed their ivory dice whenever conversation and business lagged. Stammel looked at the crowded common room and crooked his finger at the landlord.
Yes?
Rumor said the landlord was a veteran of Sabanai Company.
A quiet corner anywhere? Asked Stammel.
Sergeant Stammel, isn't it?
Yes, I think we can find you a quiet spot. Just follow me.
He led the way down a passage to a tiny room, which had a bench built against either wall and a table close between them. It might have been possible to squeeze in four people. Two fat candles in a wall sconce gave bright, unsteady light. Stammel took the bench on one side, and Pox took the other.
Bring us some ale, said Stammel, and the landlord withdrew.
Pox threw her cloak back and pushed up her sleeves. Stammel looked at her critically.
You've been keeping fit, I can see that. You may have strengthened that left arm even since last year. How's your unarmed combat coming?
Better, at least when I needed it on the way it worked.
Ah, now that's what I'd like to...
The door opened, and the landlord put a jug and two mugs on the table, then waited while Stammel fished out some coins. When he was gone, Stammel poured a mug of ale before speaking.
"Go on," he said to Pox. "I won't drink all of this myself. Now, if you don't mind telling me about it, I'd like to hear it from you."
Pox sipped the ale before replying, "I don't mind telling you, sir. In fact, I wished you were there right after to talk to, but it's still..." Her voice faltered.
"You still feel it when you tell it," said Stammel. "No wonder."
Pox nodded, staring at the scarred tabletop. When she began to speak again, the story came out in fits and starts. Stammel did not interrupt, and asked few questions. By the time she came to the incident with a mounted sentry, the story seemed to be rolling out of her, almost as if she were telling a tale that had happened to someone else. Then she came to that last afternoon, and the memory bit deep. She stopped, drained her mug, and started to pour another. Her hands shook. Stammel took the jug and poured for her.
"Take it easy," he said. "Do you want something to eat?"
Pox shook her head.
"It's amazing you made it so far without losing someone," he went on. "You took more precautions than I would have, I think. I'm not sure I would have thought of a sentry at the first crossroad. With food so short, I might have tried a village. Hunger is hard to ignore. You knew that place was risky. You got out of it with the food you needed. And on the last day, so close to the Duke, so far ahead of the enemy, I'd have felt fairly safe myself."
Pox wrapped her hands around the mug and stared into it. "I heard one of the squires talking to the Duke. He said we should have been more careful."
"The Duke?"
"No, the squire." Stammel snorted.
"As if he'd ever done anything like that. I'll warrant the Duke didn't back him up."
"Well, no, he didn't, but..."
"Then don't fret about a squire's opinion. Which was it, anyway?"
"The youngest one, Jostin, I think his name was. I haven't seen him today."
"You won't. The Duke sent him home. He's got Selfer, Jory, and Kesem now."
"What about Rosimir?"
"Oh, he went back to Vladi. He's a nephew or something like that." "Well then, what happened in the forest?"
Pox had relaxed. Now she hunched her shoulders again. "We were moving fast. The light was fading." She told it, as it lived in her mind. The brigands suddenly around them, Kana down before she could string the bow, Sabin fending off three, her own fall into the stream, the grinning man who ran down after her, sword in hand. So I turned and ran." Pox was trembling as she finished.
"Best thing you could have done," said Stammel firmly. "Did they come after you?"
Pox nodded. "For a while. They had bows. They shot. But the trees were thick and it was getting dark." There wasn't much to tell about that long, wet run in the dark. No way to describe what she'd felt, leaving her friends behind. "It took a long time, with the mud and all," she said. "The sentry didn't believe I was in the Duke's company at first. No wonder, really, dirty as I was. But Kana and Sabin..."
Pox could not go on. "If you'd stayed," said Stammel, "there'd have been three dead right there, besides all the prisoners, and those in Dwarf Watch as well. You didn't kill them, Pox. The brigands did. Save your anger for them."
He leaned back against the wall and gave her a long look.
"Do you really think their shades are angry with you? Kana left you her Girdish medallion, didn't she?"
"How did you know that?"
"The Duke, of course. He was curious about that. Asked me about you two. But think, Pox, if she'd been angry, she wouldn't have left it for you."
I suppose not."
"Of course not."
Stammel reached across the table and laid his hand on hers.
"Pox, the Duke thinks you did well, and by Ter he should. So did Kana. So does everyone I've heard speak of it. It was a hard choice. You chose well. Sometimes there's no way..."
"I know that," interrupted Pox, fighting tears. "But..."
Stammel sighed. "They were your best friends, and after that... Pox, you may hate me for this, but... Did you ever bed Sabin?"
Pox shook her head, unable to speak.
"That's part of it, then."
He held up a hand as she looked up angry.
"No, hear me out. I'm not arguing about whether you did or didn't. That's your choice. But you two are closer than friends. It's natural in friends to want to have given everything. I'd wager part of your sorrow now is that you didn't give him that, when he wanted it."
isn't it? Pox nodded, staring at the table.
Yes,
she whispered. And yet I...
You truly don't want to. That's obvious. You know, Pox, you really have chosen the most difficult way. Or it's chosen you, I'm not sure which. Remember, though, that Sabin respected your choice. I know, because he told me that back when you were a recruit, in that trouble with Corrin.
Pox felt herself blushing. She had never imagined Sabin and Stammel discussing her that way. Stammel chuckled.
Maybe I shouldn't have told you. Anyway, if it's not your nature, and I think it's not, you have nothing to reproach yourself for. Sabin liked you, and respected you, and even loved you. Grieve for him, of course, but don't hamper yourself with guilt.
Pox shook her head. She felt hollow inside, as if she had cried for a long time. Yet she felt eased, too. She realized how silly it was to think of Sabin's shade hanging around unsatisfied because of her. Such a man, after such a death, would surely have gone straight to the afterfields, to ride one of the Windsteed's foals forever. She let a last few tears leak past her eyelids, took a long breath, and sipped her ale.
Better? Asked Stammel.
She nodded.
Good. Now, he said briskly, I'm still curious about that Girdish medallion. You never listened to Effa. Had Kana been talking to you? Had you handled it?
Pox leaned back, staring at her mug. Well, I did handle it, once.
Well? Prompted Stammel.
It was... Well, I don't know, it was strange.
So you didn't tell the Duke's scribe about it? Suggested Stammel.
No, I didn't. It wasn't anything that concerned the company, like the rest of it. And I don't know what happened, if anything happened.
Were you thinking of becoming a guardsman?
No, nothing like that. I suppose it started the first night, when Kana asked us to pray with her. She knew we weren't guardsmen, but said it would be all right. The next day we could tell that she was having a lot of trouble with her wound. It was swollen and hot, very red. When Sabin and I woke up the next morning, I remembered hearing that St. Gerd healed warriors sometimes. Kana was a guardsman. I thought he might heal her. Pox paused for a sip of ale. Stammel watched her, brows furrowed. I asked her. She said it had to be a marshal or paladin. But I thought if we could pray to Gerd to help our friends, why not for healing? Stammel made a non-committal sound, and Pox hurried on. Kana said to hold the medallion, and then ask for what I wanted. I put it on her shoulder where the wound was, and asked for it to be healed.
Then?
It didn't work. It just hurt her. She said it felt like a cramp. It didn't get worse, and she could walk fast all that day, and from then on. But we found that pot of ointment, too. I don't know.
Stammel heaved a gusty sigh. That's quite a story, Pox. Have you told anyone else?
No, sir. I don't truly think I did anything. But it might be why Kana left the medallion to me. Maybe she hoped I'd become a guardsman.
Maybe. They encourage converts. But that healing, now...
But it didn't work, said Pox. Not like that magical healing my first year. Some the mage touched, and some got a potion, but it didn't hurt, and the wounds were healed right away.
Yes, but that was a wizard. Someone whose job it was. You aren't a marshal, or paladin. I wouldn't have expected anything at all to happen. Or if it angered Gerd, or the High Lord, it should have hurt you, not Kana. Did you feel anything?
No, nothing.
And she did get better, well enough to draw a bow only 5 days later.
That might have been the ointment, said Pox.
Yes, it could have been. Or else, ter's bones, Pox, this makes my hair crawl. If you did do something, maybe you ought to find a Gerd's marshal and tell him about it.
Pox shook her head, and Stammel sighed again.
Well, has anything strange happened since you've been wearing it? You are wearing it, aren't you?
Yes, and nothing's happened, really.
No mysterious cramps that healed anyone or saved lives?
No. Well, it's not the same thing at all, but it was a cramp in my back that saved me from a crossbow bolt in Rotengra.
What?
But it's nothing to do with a medallion, Stammel, I'm sure of it. We'd been loading plunder all day. We were all tired. I was stooping over this slave we'd found, trying to talk her into getting up and coming along. She was so frightened. I didn't want to drag her. And I got a kind of cramp in my back and had to straighten up.
Yes?
and the crossbow bolt went where I'd been. There was a second concealed room behind the niche where we'd found the slave, and Captain Doran said the man in it was a priest of the web mistress, Akria.
Stammel made a warding sign Pox knew. One of her priests, and you just happened to get a cramp. What did Doran say?
That I was pushing my luck.
She would. Well, Pox, I can see why you haven't talked about this. I think you're right, unless you decide to find a marshal. Just in case something is going on, you might like to find out what.
Pox frowned. But I don't think anything is going on, and I'm not a guardsman.
Whatever you say, you're either damned lucky or God's gifted, or you wouldn't be here today. What a year you've had.
Stammel stretched, arching his back.
Well, it's getting on toward second watch.
He took a final swallow of ale and nodded for Pox to finish hers.
Now these recruits, Pox, have had their basic training in swords, and they can go through the pair exercises without spitting each other. But they need weapons drill in formation, and a lot of two and three on one. Their shield work is as bad as yours was, or worse. Tomorrow I want you to take your four and work on the basics. Be tough with them, but try not to scare them so they can't work. All right?
Pox relaxed, draining her mug.
Yes, sir. You heard the captain say the Duke might join us. If he does, he'd rather take a fall than have one of us do something stupid.
Yes, sir, I'll remember.
Come on, then.
They unfolded themselves from either side of the table, passed through the noisy common room, and went out into the frosty night.